It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Iowa is facing a shortage of middle-skill workers. Fields like nursing, welding, manufacturing, and a state task force has recommended changes to improve career and technical education programs that are designed to introduce students to these middle-skill jobs. So this half hour, we want to learn more about the nature of the shortage, the response to it, and how people are pushing for more technical and career training at the high school level and beyond. Joining us, first of all, is Dave Bunting. He's a facilitator that's worked with the 18-member Secondary Career and Technical Education Task Force over the past 2 years to review and make recommendations. Dave is retired from Kirkwood Community College after nearly 40 years of work there. Welcome to our program, Dave.
Thank you very much.
So help us dig deeper into the work of this task force and set the scene in terms of our worker shortages. Perhaps you could start out with the origins of the task force. Why was it created? What was your charge?
Well, it was created by the Iowa legislature, and basically the charge was that there was a lot of need about, you know, our future workforce. There was a lot of interest in, you know, how are we preparing young people for their futures? How are we connecting with business and industry around these issues? And so the legislature actually created this task force. And our charge was to take approximately 2 years. Members of the task force were identified by key stakeholder groups, and we have met about 11 times. But our mission was to really take a deep look at high school or secondary career and technical education and bring back recommendations. And that report was completed about a week ago, and it was submitted to the legislature.
Mm-hmm. So tell us, what suggestions, recommendations did you all arrive at?
Well, for people who want to actually read the report, we will make sure that you get a copy of that website so you can post it on your website. But there were five areas. One area was career guidance. The second area was high-quality CTE, or career and technical education programs. The third recommendation was around work-based learning. The fourth one dealt with preparation and professional development to attract and keep more career and technical education teachers. And the fifth one dealt with regional partnerships and regional centers for the delivery of career and tech ed.
Mm-hmm. And in all these five levels, you think Iowa has a significant area that it can improve in all these areas?
Oh, absolutely. A lot of the conversation began by realizing that we had not reviewed secondary career and technical education from a legislative perspective since about 1989. So we're 25 years out. And it was just time to go back and take a look at how does career and technical education work at the secondary level, and what are those key directions or initiative areas that we need to look at to propel us into the future. So each of the recommendations are very directional. They're not all very, very specific, but they clearly set a course of direction that we believe secondary CTE should go in Iowa.
Mm-hmm. So how soon will this be felt on the ground where people, where educators are working and students are getting these this new sort of learning?
Well, like anything, there's a lot of process that still needs to go on. But I think certainly some of these initiatives you might see as early as this coming fall as we take a look at different areas. And that's our hope, is we were wanting to get our recommendations to the legislature as quickly as possible so that any action that might need to be taken or any of the administrative things that need to be done could get out in the field as quickly as possible, maybe as early as sometime next year.
Okay, Dave Bunting, thank you for your perspective, having worked with the 18-member Career and Technical Education Task Force over the past 2 years. Dave, thanks.
Thank you so much.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer, talking about Iowa's shortage of middle-skill workers, various fields, nursing, welding, manufacturing. Now let's look at how one school district is responding. Jane Lindemann is superintendent of Waterloo Schools, and she joins us now. Hi, Jane.
Well, hello.
Your Board of Education just, I understand, unanimously approved a plan to expand career and Technical Education, also making some facility improvements at East and West High Schools in Waterloo. $47 million recommendation for reform of Waterloo Community Schools. This has something to do with the middle skill workers that we have a demand for.
Yeah, it certainly does. We really were seeking an initiative that would help our students be engaged at greater levels, but also set them up for a brighter future and let them move forward into the job market that is readily available.
Mm-hmm. I see Waterloo has some problems with the graduation rate, 70% thereabouts, we're well below the Iowa average. Did that figure into the need for this this change?
Yeah, it certainly did. We've been at this exploration for several years, and we looked at a lot of data. Of course, the graduation rate was one piece of that, and we knew that we needed to do better, and we also know that our students are just as bright as anyone else and that we can do better and that they can do better. And so that was one piece of data. Another piece that we looked at is really our number of students who drop out every year, and we firmly believe that if we can engage them and help them connect to what they're learning and see how it connects to their life after high school. Mm-hmm. We know that that has been proven to keep kids in school and to help them graduate at greater rates.
Mm-hmm. And across the country, schools that have made similar moves to what you're doing, does that show an increase in graduation?
Yeah, it certainly does. When we investigated this, we found that schools that have this type of career and technical education on average graduate 92% of their students. And that, you know, certainly that is quite a bit higher percentage than what we currently have. And so it was one of the factors that really helped us know that we needed to explore this type of programming.
Mm-hmm. So help us understand that a little bit. So a lower graduation rate, some of that can be explained by the fact what these students are just not connecting it with work that they'll have in the future if they don't go on to college, for instance?
Yeah, the lower graduation rate really is it's significant because for one reason, if students take 4 years to get through high school and to graduate with the graduation requirements, that's fine. And if they take 5 years or 6 years, that's fine. But every year that they don't graduate just decreases their chances of graduating, period. And if they don't graduate, then it certainly limits their options as far as going on to post-secondary education in any way, shape, or form. We are really looking at redefining college, the word college. It doesn't need to be defined as university.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the students need to move on, 1 year, 2 years, 4 years, 8 years, whatever it takes is really what we want to set our kids up for.
Mm-hmm. And I understand that this recommendation comes with 30 career pathways phased in over the next few years. Give us an idea of some of these pathways that will be introduced here.
Yeah, certainly. We looked at a variety of things, and we started for the 30 programs. We looked at things that we currently have parts of. And so the phased-in program, there would be things in the area of construction or automotive. We're bringing in a significant portion of medical options for kids as far as nursing or biomedical or medical research. There's some computer engineering pieces. We're connecting a lot with manufacturing, and certainly that makes sense right here in the Cedar Valley with John Deere and some of the other manufacturing companies and businesses. We also looked at certain things that might be a little more specific, like education, horticulture, animal science, diesel-powered technology, just a variety of options for students. We know that we surveyed them. We know what they want. We know what jobs are out there. We know what our businesses can support and will support, and that's how we determined the 30 programs.
What sort of feedback did you get from parents in your school district?
Yeah, we have been, I think we've done our due diligence in really trying to get feedback from parents and community and business. And parents are very on board, especially when they know the what, you know, the logistics of what we're trying to do. We are really campaigning a lot to share the message of what we want to bring to Waterloo schools. We absolutely believe that this will make a significant difference in the way that we educate our kids.
Mm-hmm. So you've been at this, working toward this recommendation for years. What have you found? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, we started this originally in January of 2012, and we didn't at first focus on the technical education aspects. We went out and investigated and explored high schools all across the nation that were doing better than we are. And so we knew that, you know, we knew what we wanted. We wanted to increase graduation rate. We wanted to decrease dropout rate. We wanted to send our kids on to college at a higher level. And while they're here, we wanted them to have meaningful learning. And so we went to all kinds of high schools all across the nation, and we really, within a year, we focused in on the high schools that provided this type of technical education because it made sense. The communities looked like Waterloo schools. They had some of the same demographics, but more importantly, they had access to business and industry like we do now.
Okay. Good luck with working through that at the Waterloo schools. Jane Lindemann, superintendent of Waterloo schools, thanks for sharing us your future vision and plan.
Yeah, it's exciting work, and I really appreciate the opportunity to share.
And in talking about Iowa's shortage of middle-skill workers, let's talk with Ed Wallace, Deputy Director of Iowa Workforce Development. He's also State Labor Market Information Administrator. Hello, Ed.
Hello.
Tell us, what industries are lacking applicants? Where is the need in the state?
We have so many need for individuals in the career and technical education area. Those folks that have two-year degrees or have technical skills, particularly in the health sciences as well as in the building trades, we've got a good number of openings in both areas, and we see those areas trending upward, and knowing that we're going to have more openings moving forward. Certainly for the next 10 years.
How have these companies, these organizations, been coping up to now with these shortages?
It's been difficult. Some folks have been able to utilize individual training or individual job-seeking agencies and that type of thing. Others have just done word of mouth. But quite frankly, at Iowa Workforce Development, we're certainly motivated to work directly with those respective industries and identify the hot jobs and help them market and promote those opportunities.
So how did we get to this point where we have these shortages? What's been happening over the past few years?
About 20 years ago, a lot of our high schools did away with career and technical education, what we've commonly referred to as vocational classes or any machine shop type of courses. And a lot of those occupations, there was not exposure to young people, so they did not have a firsthand opportunity to learn those type of trades. Additionally, as we've had urbanization across the great state of Iowa, many of our young people haven't had exposure to different types of trades that require tools and other types of devices. And so many of those occupations have been vacant, as we have a lot of folks that have frequented the four-year institutions and other institutions of higher learning.
I wonder, what was the thinking back then to get rid of these vocational training types of opportunities in high schools?
I think typically the mindset certainly around that time was that we were going to have more and more four-year degree holders and certainly have the job opportunities to support those four-year degree holders. And while a four-year degree is certainly admirable, there are so many middle-skilled job opportunities across the great state that only require some type of training within our community colleges or service providers or a two-year associate's degree that can provide a great opportunity for the future.
So this really sheds new light or redefines the worth of an associate's degree, a two-year degree.
Without question, you know, we have a dental hygienist across the state that can earn $67,000 a year. We've got sonographers on the health science, but certainly on the building trade side, structural iron and steel workers, as well as electricians, plumbers, tool and die, sheet metal fabricators, all of those different occupations are in need in all sectors of the state.
And of the professions, the jobs you just named, do they normally need two-year degrees, or how does that work?
I know that there's a great number of apprenticeship opportunities that many people may not know so much about for our electricians, plumbers, pipe fitters, steam fitters, as well as the HVAC folks. And those are opportunities that we are going to continue to highlight with Iowa Workforce Development in our partnerships, not only with unions, but also with respective service providers across the state.
When we talk about the shortage, the gap that we have between the need and what we're meeting there with our workers here, how soon do you think we can close this gap? What are you expecting in terms of numbers?
I think the thing to keep in mind is we have 1.7, just short of 1.7 million workers across the state. So when we look 10 years from now, those workers that will be in the workforce are currently already there. We have a number of workers that come from the greatest generation and then the baby boomers who will be sifting away all the way till 2025. But if you look at the 10-year time frame, many of the folks that are in the workforce are already there and going to continue to do the work. The biggest thing is just let many of our Iowans transition from one career to another. There are a lot of folks that are doing different things that give some consideration to these exciting opportunities.
Okay. Ed Wallace, Deputy Director of Iowa Workforce Development and State Labor Market Information Administrator. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer, and the last of the four perspectives that we're getting this half hour on Iowa's shortage of middle-skill workers comes from Jeff Mitchell. He is the Dean of Industrial Technology at Kirkwood Community College in Cedar Rapids. Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
We were just talking with Ed Wallace of the Iowa Workforce Development, and it seems to me, I want to ask you about your challenges there in helping to meet this worker shortage, but he's talking about associate's degrees. You come out with a two-year degree, you can earn $60,000 or more. So part of this is awareness?
Yes, absolutely. And one that is our greatest challenge is the awareness factor for both traditional and non-traditional students. Both non-traditional students are more aware of the opportunities in these types of careers, but the students graduating directly from high school, it's a real lack of awareness issue that we put forth a lot of effort.
Mm-hmm. In having these conversations today, it seems a little bit like a version of Back to the Future that we heard a couple decades ago. There were more opportunities in high schools to get kids aware of vocational training, get them excited about these other ones, and then that was kind of phased out.
Yes, it was, and lots of it is funding and stuff, state funding, and that's why these regional centers are so successful, because it's a win-win situation for both the high school districts and the community college, in that there is weighted funding for career tech ed students, but it's not sufficient enough to keep up with technology in the high schools. But by collaborating with the community college and other high school districts, the resources are there to have a really top-notch, fully articulated programs with the cutting-edge technology that we have on main campus.
Mm-hmm. What does enrollment look like at Kirkwood Community College these days?
Actually, in the last 3 years, in all community colleges in the United States, it's dropped off, because in community colleges, typically when the economy improves, the enrollments drop off somewhat. So we went from 19,600 3 to 4 years ago down to approximately 15,000 this year. In the industrial technologies, we've held pretty steady over the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm. How do you expect that enrollment to change based on the efforts here that we're hearing about to meet the shortage of middle-skill workers?
It's that increase in awareness. I mean, even programs such as this, just to make the public aware, because our graduates in the technologies, they typically get, you know, two or three job offers when they graduate. They have jobs waiting for them before they graduate. And what we put our efforts in is to develop a bigger pipeline into our programs. And, you know, we do it through the academies, but we also then do it through articulated pathways from our non-credit division, through certificates and credentials, with the hopes that students that take that evening training ultimately will find their way into our two-year degree programs.
Mm-hmm. Give us an idea of some specific careers that you're talking about, some careers that are most in demand right now that you hold up and say, look, if you come to Kirkwood, in 2 years you can be out and people will be begging for your skills.
I could almost mention all 18 of our programs in industrial technologies, but some of the consistent ones over the years have been welding, CNC machining, automation, instrumentation, industrial maintenance technologies, and really the list goes on from there.
Mm-hmm.
they are very good careers.
And Jeff, you're a welder, I remember.
Yes. When I was originally hired back in the late 70s, I was hired as to teach a welding inspection program for Kirkwood. So that's always been where I've come from,
right?
Is welding.
Right. So how much is, as an example, how much has welding changed over the past few decades?
It changed dramatically in the mid-90s because of the technology. Technology is going right through the roof with welding, and it's more so than just robotic welding, too. I mean, I'm talking manual hands-on welding, the technology of the equipment and stuff, and that has been a real shift in our curriculum, is that it takes much more than your high hand coordination that it used to. You also have to teach the students the technology and what these machines are actually capable of to produce consistent quality.
Mm-hmm. And I imagine that sort of technical revolution has taken place across the board in all fields of work.
Yes, and that's that whole general concept. When I got into education in the late 70s, there's really two major classifications of job, and that was a blue collar or a white collar job. And because of technology, there has really been a new classification in between that we like to call gold collar jobs. And those are the types of jobs that it takes, increasing knowledge where you're using both your mind and your hands every day that you go to work. Mm. And that's where a lot of our programs fall into now, the gold collar occupation.
Interesting, exciting, and also good jobs for good pay. Jeff Mitchell, thank you very much. Dean of Industrial Technology at Kirkwood Community College in Cedar Rapids.
Okay, thank you.
Our show is produced by Emily Woodbury, Lindsay Moon, and Claire Roth. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. Our theme music was recorded and composed by the River Monks. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.